This is Building Bridges, produced and hosted by Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg.
Thousands of New Yorkers took to the streets, expressing their anguish over racist police killings of people of color, and their anger over police officers Darren Wilson in the death of Michael Brown and Daniel Pantaleo for the chokehold strangulation of Eric Garner, and their impunity from prosecution. Building Bridges' Mimi Rosenberg brings you the sounds of protests, from the die-ins to the blockades of travel arteries all over the city. Listen to the stories of family members thirsting for justice for loved ones killed as a result of racist police policies and practices, and hear from the broad array of New Yorkers, we the people, who are prepared to challenge them.
Don't shoot!
Up here with Amy Gottlieb, who works with the American Friends Service Committee at the protests around police license to kill. Amy has spent decades working around issues of immigrant rights, and I'm wondering if you see any correlation between the violations by the state of the rights of the black and the brown through the policing apparatus and the work that you do in immigration.
Absolutely. It's the growing focus on militarization on all fronts. We see militarized police, we see National Guard being brought in, our Border Patrol being fully militarized, the privatization of prisons and immigration jails in particular, a real focus on criminalizing communities, using militarized tactics to crack down on communities of color, including immigrant communities.
The federal government has said they would conduct an investigation in at least the case of Eric Garner. What do you think the issues are that really have to become part of these protests to begin to look at the underlying policies that have led to the death of the many Eric Garners?
We need to look at racism and we need to look at poverty. The issue of the broken windows policing strategies that are what are leading to these people who are doing their best to make a living in many cases, right? The Eric Garner story is one that people can't get their minds around, right? Like a guy was selling cigarettes. Why was he selling cigarettes? Why is he living in a community where he has no access towards a sustainable lifestyle, right? But what we need to do is address those underlying issues of racism and poverty in order to move forward and reach some kind of lasting peace where black people in particular don't walk down the street. We know what the problems are. You can talk to a lot of really smart people and they can lay out what the issues are, but there's profit to be made in a lot of these circumstances. And so when there's profit to be made, decisions are made by policy makers that often lead to getting money into the pockets of corporations and prisons, and that don't really go to addressing the underlying issue. It is so much harder to work towards those underlying issues. We don't really need more reports, but what we need is an uprising and the community to act in support of fair treatment and anti-racism policies and economic justice for all.
Amy Gottlieb, thank you.
Indict, convict, send those killer cops to jail!
Now, we've got some old-timers here, along with the young sprouts, and so David.
And it's wonderful to see all the young people that are actively involved, working towards making some structural change. They're not glazing over this broken windows policy that needs to be eliminated. We need some sunshine laws. Things have to be aired out. We have to see, and the people know what justice is.
Are you cynical or just in pain about having to be here? Both of us could run off the names. Certainly I could run off, like, easily 55 years of names. And I go back to one of my first activities around chokeholds, which was Arthur Miller, right, a pillar of the community in Crown Heights, who was strangled to death in a chokehold. And of course, there's Luis Baez, who was playing football with his brother.
Baez, December 3rd would have been Richie Perez's 70th birthday. That was a wonderful, wonderful brother. brothers whose life was the gift to the struggle and to the future generations. Richie Perez was one of the original Young Lords, worked at CSS. I mean, but Richie did so many things. And he was the head of the Justice Committee, National Congress of Puerto Rican Rights, which in the Latino community defended the rights of people against police brutality.
And David Lopez, the fact that you're out, does his memory justice. And La Luta Continua.
Richie Vive, without a doubt, his memory is there. And look, his wife is out here. Marta's out here. We got to find her, but she's out here. And many, this is right here. That's Maisha Morales. She's a mentee of Richie Perez.
We're going to go get her and find out why she's here. But my sister, what brings you out here? Got a real serious hat and gloves.
With rage.
Tell us who you are and what that rage is about.
My name is Jet Toomer. I'm a native New Yorker. I'm a black woman just tired of seeing my people, young and old, be the victims of racist tactics by oppressive systems that have been designed to keep people oppressed.
What do you tell Mayor de Blasio, who sits there and pronounces his innocence by virtue of the fact that he has a son of color? What do we say to him? What do we say to William Bratton?
I think that they really need to listen to leadership of color who have been organizing over these issues for decades. They need to stop asking people to calm down when people's lives are on the line. They need to work collectively with community organizations that are building capacity, and they need to give money to organizations who do this work.
Thank you. My sister again, you are?
Jet Toomer.
United, United, Bratton. You lying, Terry. You lying, Terry. Tell them all.
Do you mind if I ask you? You've got two signs. One Ferguson, one Eric Gardner. Hands up, don't shoot. I can't breathe. What draws you to this very painful moment?
Very simple. I'm black. My brother is black. I'm afraid for my life. That's it.
So what do you tell Mayor de Blasio, what do you tell the system to do?
Stuff has to change. It has to change right now. Cameras clearly didn't work in the case of Eric Garner. There's a videotape of it from a phone camera, and it didn't work, so something has to change. The system has to change.
And do you mind telling us who you are?
Natty.
Thank you, Natty.
Don't you.
Are you also friends of Natty?
Yeah.
Three more friends of Natty here, all with the don't shoot, I can't breathe signs. So is it just about an indictment, which didn't happen, or a federal civil rights prosecution? What do you think?
It's about accountability. It's about a change in the processes by which police act. It's about a change in their policies. It's about changing the way that they see young black men. Just changing the way that there's a relationship between the police and the community.
I also find that these entire systems are like focused on putting people in the prison industrial complex, like setting quotas for tickets, how many tickets are given out, and just like getting black bodies into the system. So those like bureaucratic things need to be reformed as well. Like the aims need to be like not fast tracking bodies into prisons.
Mind telling us who you are?
My name is Cassandra. I live in Nassau County.
And how old are you?
I'm 25.
And what about you, my brother?
My name is Jabari. I live in the Bronx, 31.
You are hanging with these folks. And so what do you make of this? And what do you say in response to white people who don't seem to get what the issue of racism is about as it relates to cops who kill black and brown people?
I mean, I think they have to listen to people around them who are, you know, speaking about their experiences on the day-to-day and not shut them down and say that, oh, it's not existing because it's not happening to me, and open their eyes because it really is disgusting injustice. And I think piggybacking off of what Cassandra was saying, stuff needs to change from really like the bottom up because it's such pervasive issues that an indictment would be a very, very good thing because that would prove that there's accountability, but it really needs to be like an all-over like society change. That's why we're here.
So you have a lot to add to this process, and maybe with your involvement and enthusiasm in an ongoing way, you will finally begin to erode the process of the license to kill killer cops against black and brown. Thank you all.
Don't shoot! Don't shoot!
Go shoot!
Andy, tell us a little bit about yourself and also a little bit about your experience, which does breed a certain kind of knowledge and empathy in relationship to the Eric Brown and what we have to do, white people, etc., relative to those large number of relatively privileged people who don't get it.
The thing is that when people are caught on racism, they have this idea that like, oh my God, I'm not permanently racist. You have to understand that just, you might be well-intentioned, but you can still be contributing to the oppression of black people. And I think that's what white people have to take away from it. That when someone calls you out for being racist, you don't take it as like a, oh my God, I have to defend myself, but like, let me see how I can reduce my oppression of black people and people of color. Because that's what everyone fails to do, because everyone, what happens is that when you challenge someone on their beliefs, it actually reinforces their beliefs that they have to defend themselves. There's actually studies on this, that by challenging them, you have to be very so gentle with them. Martin Luther King said that a riot is the language of the unheard. We have to really understand that, because it's not as people are burning down their town, that the situation is so desperate that they feel the utter need to burn down the town for you to pay attention to the kids dying, and that we shouldn't have to...
So also you were mentioning your experience as a trans person in correlation and relation and what kind of sensitivity it gives you.
A lot of people will support me for being trans. I'm sure this is very similar to people who have color experience. They'll support you being like trans, but to an extent. And the same way, they'll be like, well, you're black and that's cool, but then when you say, hey, white privilege is a real thing, and you have to challenge that, then they go, wait, now I feel I'm being attacked. Oh, right. So they always support you to an extent, and that's the problem. So it's the biggest rule, like the biggest number one way to be an ally to people of color, to ally to anyone, is when they are talking, listen. Don't argue, at least just sit down, take a breath, listen, and just analyze that for an hour. Like, then make your response to it. Because the thing is that the ridiculous thing is that white people will say that, you know, black people aren't being oppressed, but then they act like they're being oppressed by being challenged. You know, we aren't oppressed in this country. If we have to feel a little spout, like, some guilt or whatever for a second, that's fine. Like, that's not on the same level as what everyone of color has to deal with every day.
And you are again?
Andy Deere, and I'm a trans activist from Rhode Island.
Crowd is clearing!
The crowd is clearing!
We're going to go!
We're going to go!
Shut it down!
Shut it down!
But first we have to! Go to Foley Square!
Go to Foley Square!
And pick up the other thousands!
And pick up the other thousands!
Of people!
Who are not!
Going to take!
This murder!
And acquittal!
Lying down!
We're gonna go!
We're gonna get them!
And then we're gonna shut the whole city down!
Just
this!
We're in front of the Barclays Center in Brooklyn now, and there has just been an expression of a die-in with coffins bearing the names of those many people that were killed by police violence in Brooklyn.
March
back!
I'm here with Charles Barron, having just come from Manhattan. We're now here in Brooklyn. Charles, you've been a veteran of this. What do we begin to do to tackle the underlying policies and practices that result in the death of so many black and brown?
Well, I think we got to continue to keep the pressure on. This was a powerful, powerful march today. People are uniting from all across the country, all across the city, and we got to get the right black leaders in political positions, and we got to keep fighting for justice. And we got to say that capitalism and its tentacle called racism is at the root of all of this, and we have to fight for radical change. This is the seeds for revolution.
And what about the specific situation of Akai Gurley and stuff?
Now D.A. Thompson has a chance to show where he really is. We gave him an eyewitness to the incident. Just by the commissioner's story alone, They should have arrested this man and went to a preliminary hearing, not a grand jury, and seek probable cause indictments. They could have done that already. The police commissioner said he discharged his weapon and ran away. That's not an accident. That's a deliberate discharge. And the policy says you have to keep your gun holstered when you're doing vertical control, keep your finger off the trigger, and you ask questions if you see anybody on the stairwell. Not
and
shoot
you,
first.
You may not know, but I just came from Manhattan. The Manhattan Bridge is closed. The Brooklyn Bridge is closed. The West Side Highway, the Holland Tunnel, Harlem. All over. Right. There are tens of thousands of people out in the street. And it's good to know Brooklyn is in the house. Assemblymen are like Barry.
In terms of broken windows, it has broken our families, it's broken our communities, and it has literally broken lives. The death of Eric Garner, the blood is on the hands of all of those who brought him here. De Blasio, Sharpton, they brought Bratton in here, and all of the black leaders that supported that, the blood of Eric Garner is on their hands, because that's what broken windows broke his life.
Thank you. And right now there are a stream of coffins that are passing by us with the names of Anthony Baez, Ramali Graham, Sean Bell, Noel Polanco, and many, many more. And we're going to try to talk to some of the young people who are carrying these coffins. Excuse me, tell us what you think the significance of this is.
It means that it is about these individual families, it's about these individual lives, and it's about the fact that all of our lives matter. And if I have a child, if I have a little boy, I want to be able to let him live his life like any other little boy and not have to warn him that the police are going to kill him, you know, or that that's even a risk in his life.
And you are?
The hell, Tessa.
My check! Hands up! No cue!
My check! Right now! We are! Getting ready! To continue the march!
Y'all with me?
If you don't mind, we were out there last year when Chantel Davis was killed, and it must be enormously painful for you to be here again.
Brings back a lot of bad memories. We shouldn't be going through this again.
Has anything at all meaningful happened in terms of being able to get some justice for Chantel Davis?
No, nothing.
What do you think we need to tell the mayor about Chantel Davis, Sakai Gurley, Kamani Gray, and all these young people who lost their lives at the hands of the police?
Black Lives Matter. It has to be accountability. Someone has to police the police. They cannot police themselves.
And do you think that means a federal prosecutor, or does it mean getting rid of broken windows, policing? What do you think?
Broken windows should definitely be gone. DOJ should step in and take a look at all of these cases.
And how is your family held up after this terrifying loss of Chantel?
As best as we can, one day at a time.
And I'm with the aunt of Chantel Davis, who lost her life at the hands of the police. And the families, as always, have courage and are taking the lead. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, really.
Revolution!
And the crowd is continuing to walk down Flatbush Avenue, headed towards the Brooklyn Bridge, led by the families of a number of the people who lost their lives at the hands of the police. The community now probably in Brooklyn is at the many thousands. Constance, how are you?
How are
you? You're out here again and again and again, and after, of course, the loss of your son. What are your thoughts on a night like this when you're forced to be out in the streets again?
You just open up old wounds, and, you know, it never gets any easier. It seemed like it just happened yesterday. So it's good to see all these people out here, and we fight for every Garner, but we also have to remember we had Ramal Ibrahim 2.5 years ago, and we still haven't gotten any justice for him.
Where do you get the stamina to persevere like this in the face of so much personal pain and such ugliness and tragedy?
I still got another black boy that I'm raising in the city. He's right here with me tonight. That's what keeps me going, because I have to fight for him now. Ramal is no longer here. So this is who I'm fighting for, and all my rest of black boys and girls that's out here.
And how is this young man done after what happened to his brother?
Well, he will never be the same. We know that. But, you know, we just got to try to take it one day at a time. And you just take it from there. It's hard. Every day he misses his brother, you know. His day was very close. So it's never going to be easy for him.
Well, we thank you for being who you are. Your strength, your family strength is unparalleled, and you really are a model. Wish you didn't have to be, but thank you for who you are.
Thank you.
So we've been speaking to the mother of Ramal Ibrahim, who continued to be out here persevering. Each time another police killing happens, it opens the wounds. We've spoken with the aunt of Chantel Davis, who was killed in Brooklyn a year ago while driving a car. The crowd is now continuing, burgeoning to hundreds and hundreds of people throughout the borough of Brooklyn, heading towards the Brooklyn Bridge.
The people united will never be defeated. The people united will never be defeated.
And I wonder what your thoughts are now, are marching in the streets of Flatbush. What are you thinking?
I think we can have a result very soon. They have to indict the police who doing the crime, committing a crime to our children. Like me, is my son, my lovely son, who was a student who named Mohammed Ba. I was just thinking about medicine, seeking medicine help. Those people come, I tell them, I don't call police, I call an ambulance, go away. They tell me, no, mom, don't worry. He will be okay. They just go broke my son to shot him 10 times on his own apartment. You thinking you will have a safety on your own apartment. My son never committed a crime in her life. My son, he was 28 years old. He was a Bronx Community College student. I was begging those people, don't broke my son door. He will open the door, let me talk to him. They shoot my son and they never indict those people. Those people walking around among us. What we're doing here, not for the people who die, and for us, and for our future children. Now, if justice were done for Ahmad Diallo, all those people are not going to die innocent, die like this. If justice were done for Mohammed Ba, all these people were not to die for nothing. Mohammed Ba got done September 25th, 2012. Imagine, since September 25th, 2012, how many people got done from those people. Because no justice. They know if they do, nobody will indict them. They will have peace. They will stay, continue to have their salary. They will tell them they are not guilty. If they know they commit a crime, they will cut their pension. They will not have salary. They will go to jail. You think they will do? They can't. We need justice for our family. We need justice for our children. Imagine like Eric Garner. Tell them I'm not breathing. They kill him. Because they don't care.
And tell us who you are.
I'm Hawa Ba, the mother of Mohammed Ba. I'm asking changing of systems. Disindict the people who commit a crime. We are very educated, our children. They are good people, they are dying innocent death. I call all the people to stand up This is just a starting. We will not stop until we got justice.
Thank you for your strength, your conviction, and of course, our hearts go out to you for your pain and your tragedy.
Thank you.
Thank you. Brother, let me ask you this. The underpinnings of all this, the practices, the policies, what do you want to see happen after we are out of the streets?
I want this to be a sustained movement, like every 28 hours. Since the indictment of Eric Garner came out, if the police have not murdered a black woman, man, or child in this country, the statistics say that like someone has already been or is going to be murdered, mm-hmm. shortly. Like, this is much larger than just Eric Garner or Mike Brown. Like, this is a systemic issue. I don't want to see, like, retraining. I don't want to see body cameras on police officers. I want to see fundamental change, like real justice. Unfortunately, we're not going to get that in the courts.
What is fundamental justice?
I'm of indigenous descent. For millennia, mm-hmm. we did not have police. Okay, mm-hmm. the ways that we dealt with people who acted outside of our community standards was we embraced them with love and restorative justice, like, you know, community healing. Like, those are the principles that, like, I want to see, as opposed to punitive form of justice, right? That is only wielded against poor black people in particular and poor people of color in general, right? Unfortunately, if you're a police officer, that gives you the right to kill somebody with complete impunity. And that's what I want to see change.
Thank you. Do you mind telling us who you are?
Yeah, my name is Jeronimo Marodiaga.
You can hear the sounds of horns that are honking in support of the massive number of demonstrators that are heading from Brooklyn towards the entrance of the Manhattan Bridge now and appear committed to walking over the Manhattan Bridge. And the police are yielding to the mighty force that is in front of them. Groups of people marching with 15 coffins now over the Manhattan Bridge.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.